Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. These are such rich weeks. We have Easter, we have the Ascension, we have Pentecost, we have, in the midst of all this, we have the Feast of the Visitation, the Blessed Mother. So much this week that we want to speak about. So let's take a look today at the readings for this day. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the country and down to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. That would be a great joy, wouldn't it? You're out on your first missionary venture, so to speak, and you know what lies ahead. You know there's going to be persecution and suffering, and yet you cannot not talk about him because you know that he is the Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the longed-for one. He has come. He is. Brothers and sisters, that should be graven on our hearts even these centuries later, that we bear the good news. Those of us with faith bear the good news. And the call is to proclaim that by our thoughts, our words, our actions. Not so much proclaiming directly the gospel, though we can do that, but a lived gospel, that people, when they look at you and watch you and see your priorities and your values, recognize it as coming from the gospel. Think about that. Paul goes out here and he's traveling and he finds some disciples, which, as I said, must have brought him great joy. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they answered him, "We've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So see, the whole instruction is very, it's just in its, so to speak, embryo. It's more than embryonic, but in its very early stages. And so he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "No, we never even heard there was one. What are you talking about?" And he said, "How were you baptized?" And they replied, "With the baptism of John," John the Baptist. That's what he was sent to do. And Paul then said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." And so he says, "I bring you the good news. I bring you, in a certain way, the baptism of Jesus Christ." And they consent. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 men. Paul entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. Paul was tilling the soil for the first time. It was arduous work, and yet there was a way that the grace of God was there. The power of the Holy Spirit was in his life. So you see this move now from a baptism of repentance into the baptism of Jesus Christ, which brings us into fullness of life. The first was a baptism of repentance. Our baptism is a baptism of, we certainly are repenting, but even more, it's God equipping us to be his disciples. And it grieves me deeply that so many people, once they're confirmed, think, "Okay, now I'm done." It's often these days referred to as the exit sacrament. "Okay, I've got all the sacraments, I'm done." When in reality, what's happened is you have now been given the equipment which you need to learn how to use to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to bring, like Paul, many people to Christ in our own way, right within our own families, our neighborhood, our workplace, our parish. But see, people, in a certain way, they've put an academic framework over it. "Well, I've taken all the courses now, and I have all the credentials. I have all the certificates. Now I'm done." When the whole purpose of it is to equip you to become a fully alive, fully active disciple of Jesus Christ. Where do you fall in that spectrum? God wants us to really, really look at this, brothers and sisters. Because it says here in this reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Tongues are given for worship. Our worship of God, truly given, sometimes is beyond words. It's the work of the Holy Spirit praising the Father and the Son through us and in us. And they prophesied. They were beginning to exercise the gifts that God had for them. What have you done with the gifts you've received? It would be very easy for many of us to say, I don't know. I didn't even know I got them. Where do you fall? Some people say, oh, I know I received gifts. I could name them, but I didn't know there was something I was supposed to do with them. There's a whole range here in the church, depending on the catechesis we received. But God has so much for us. So pay attention, especially in this week as we prepare for the great feast of Pentecost. Open your heart to what God wants to do in you. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. He was teaching them and he was persuading them. Psalm 68, sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. God arises, his enemies are scattered, and those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so are they driven, as wax melts before the fire. But the just rejoice and exult before God. They are glad and rejoice. Sing to God, chant praise to his name, whose name is the Lord. The father of orphans, the defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. This is Psalm 68. The father of orphans and the defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads forth prisoners to prosperity. All of us in some ways are shackled and imprisoned by our sin, by our failures, by our mistakes. And we think sometimes there's no hope for me when there is an infinite resource, the grace of God through the Holy Spirit for us to be restored, to be redeemed, to be given new gifts, to be raised up. God wants to use every single one of us, brothers and sisters, especially in these times, in the darkness that we face. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 29 to 33. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." See, you have all the early stories here in the readings from Acts and the readings from the Gospels. You see that, in a sense, their eyes are being opened. They're beginning to connect the dots. They're beginning to add up this and this and this, and looking at the prophecies that were given so many thousands of years before. And they're hearing it. This is the Messiah. The Messiah has come. And Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived, when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone." That's one of the times where he was talking about the suffering that he was to undergo, the crucifixion. "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived, when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone." That did happen, didn't it? Except for very few. A lot of his followers ran, hid. "But I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Do you have a relationship with God the Father? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to lead you into a relationship with God the Father. "I am not alone." Jesus said that, because the Father is with me. And by the grace of Jesus' death on the cross, the Father is with us, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's not just an image. That's a reality. But as I say so often, and I want it in your brains firmly, God gave you a free will. He will never coerce you. It's presented to you. It's available to you. Will you receive? I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world, you will have trouble. But take courage. I have conquered the world. You and I, brothers and sisters, by the death and resurrection of Christ, and then by the coming of the Holy Spirit, are set free from the shackles of eternal death, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. The sacrament of confirmation is not just some kind of outward show. It's not a ritual. It's an imparting by the bishop of the grace that comes with the sacrament, that you may be more and more the living temple of God. That's not just an image, it's a reality. And you say, well, I don't see it. Where is it? Because most of us, somewhere along the line, did not receive or did not hear or did not comprehend that we have to be actively involved. God, we're not a passive being that God comes and drops this gift here and that gift there. He gives us himself in the sacraments. Pay attention to the sacraments. Read the section of the catechism on the sacraments. I really urge you to do it. Look at the graces that God's given us. But because he gave us free will, we're the ones that have to activate them. Lord, I want to be more and more your disciple. I want to be more and more your son or daughter. I want to follow you. I'm frightened. I don't understand this, but I want to follow you with my whole heart. I want to follow you with my life. Every one of us, whether we're 8 years old or we're 80 years old, can declare that, or 90 or 100. There's no age limit. Open your heart. Lord, activate all the gifts that I received in baptism and confirmation. Activate them. And then we need to do a fair amount of reading so that you know what you have and you know, begin to know how to use it. We're going to talk about that in these coming days. But I urge you, brothers and sisters, come before the Lord and say, Lord, if you have more for me, if you have more for me, I want it because I need it. If you want to be the God that is near us, I need you near me, and I welcome you, and I will put my life in order that I might be able to receive you. That's what you want to be able to pray. God is present in us and with us, but he always works with our free will. You're the one that has to give the assent. Let your gifts be alive in me. May God bless you. As you listen to these programs, you can see areas of your own life that need to change. And I want to offer you a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. It's great joy, brothers and sisters. Don't miss it. 1-800-282-4789 for a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. Again, 1-800-282-4789.